I'm going to go ahead and read to you from Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 13 to the end. We'll talk about it for a few minutes, and then we'll take communion. Romans chapter 7, Paul says this. I'm speaking first of the law. Did that which is good, in the law, then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law, that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Paul here makes an observation about the nature and the relationship between sin and death. It starts in the garden, in Genesis chapter 3. It starts there where God promises to Adam and Eve that if they rebel against him, if they rebel against his authority, then they will know death. And since that day, death has marked everything in our culture and everything in our society. Not merely the fact that we stop breathing, not merely the fact that death approaches us like this ever-encroaching horizon. I thought of a story that Dan likes to tell when he was climbing a 14er, I think it was his first 14er ever, and he was with his father and his sister, and they saw a thunderstorm kind of rolling in out of nowhere, like they tend to do when you're up there. And they saw the thunderstorm rolling in, and they took off sprinting down the mountain because literally the hair on their head was standing up. And lightning was beginning to strike all around them. Death is like that. It, in one sense, just that's the reality that we're going to stop breathing one day. Your heart is going to stop. Your body is going to begin to decay. It's ever coming. It's always on the horizon. But death is not simply that. Death is also the slow unraveling of all of the good things, the good gifts that God's given us. So food and wine, things that were meant to bring delight, things that were meant to bring life. Instead, we tend to find our identity there. We find joy there, more joy than we should. And so they begin to literally unravel our bodies. Sex, this glorious gift intended for the covenant of marriage, it turns into an obsession. It turns into this tool that's used by men and women to serve their own selfish desires rather than to serve someone in a covenant relationship. And so it itself begins to unravel and become something, a monster that consumes us rather than something that serves the purposes of God in our life. You can think again and again and again of good things, good gifts that God's given us that because of the nature of sin become death itself. And then there's the ultimate meaning of death, this reality that we would not dwell with God, that we would not know the life of his grace and his glory and his presence. That forever, the pressing reality because of sin is that we don't dwell with him anymore. And we can't look at his face. To be in his presence is to be in the presence of fear and judgment as we see the one that we've rebelled against. And the reality is that in Jesus Christ, we've been given a brand new hope. But as Paul says in this text, we find in our bodies, we find in ourselves this constant tendency, this constant addiction for death itself. We find ourselves running back again and again and again to this disease called death. And as Paul says, his diagnosis for all of us is that there is still sin within us, within our members, that longs to taste death again, even in the midst of being given the hope of life in Jesus. As we enter this season, and what we really hope the next 6 weeks would be for us, it is a season of recognizing those tendencies, recognizing that taste that remains for all of us, confessing those sins to one another, repenting of those sins, and turning again to find a God who's not only gracious, a God who not only forgives us of our sins, but a God who loves us, who sings over us to do us good, and has promised us life forever, has promised us that in Jesus he'll deliver us from these bodies of death. And so this morning we begin our journey to Easter by remembering the reality of death, that it's ever present and it surrounds us. And in a lot of ways, it still has its nasty hooks within us, constantly calling us back to itself. And our only deliverance, our only hope, is not the law. The main point of Paul in this text is that the law or some set of standards will never save you from this death. But ultimately, the thing that we all need, that we desperately need in order to be saved from this death, is Jesus, who died in our place, that we might be raised with him, that our sins might be atoned for, and that we could have life. So if you'll stand with me. I'm going to read from this communion and imposition of ashes. After we do that, if you're going to serve communion, you can come on forward. The communion stations will be in the middle, so everybody's going to come through the middle. And then after you take communion, if we go to the sides, Dan will be over here, and I'll be over here to bless you with ashes and a reminder of your death and make your forehead very dirty. So if you are here and you consider Jesus your Savior and King, if he's rescued you from sin and death, if you count his death on the cross as the atonement for your sins, and we invite you to this table to take the bread, dip it in the wine, and be reminded of the fact that Jesus Christ was broken on our behalf, that his blood was spilled on our behalf. So, please listen with me. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and repentance, that we may remember that it is only by your gracious gift that we are given everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Let's eat the bread and the wine.